Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Boy, do I love to watch my gums bleed. Nah, put that on your recording, Amy.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh boy. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't worry. I'm sorry. I apologize ahead of time. I have a great show assembled for you today. This is going to be awesome. So sit back. Let me take care of everything. I will drive. I have a great guest coming up on today's show. P.A. Brook is here. Yeah, his first name is P.A. I don't name him. I just interview them, okay? He's written a book called If I Were God. It's a humor book. It's funny, and we'll talk to him a little bit later on the show. He's going to be here. If I Were God. In Trump's case, if I am God, not a were, he thinks he is. My God. You know, let me just get this out of the way. I always apologize for talking about him, but he's crept into my soul. He's become a part of my bowel movement. I can't help it. Can we do a vote of no confidence? Do you know what that is? I believe in Parliament and some other countries, if things are that sucky and that horrible, if the majority of the people stand up and say, I don't trust this person anymore, I got no confidence, it's not working out, let's move on, get the sucker out of here, let's go to the next one, that's a good deal. I don't know how you regulate that. It's not in our Constitution. What's with this Constitution, man? Wow, God. Give me some flexibility here. This rule book is just like, whoa. We do amendments to the Constitution, but that takes a lot. But we don't kind of fool around with the original ones. But my goodness, this thing was written. Do you know when the Constitution was written? Adam and Eve were alive. That's not true. That's just not true. You know how long ago this Constitution was written? Alabama was in the path of destruction from the hurricane. That's how long ago. Donald Trump is mentally ill. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm just calling for an examination on his personality. How dangerous his personality disorders actually are. Look, I don't have any problem with people having disabilities, mental disabilities, personality disorders to the extreme. I don't have any problem with that. That's usually your uncle who comes over for Thanksgiving or Christmas, does and says crazy things, and you just laugh it off saying, well, I only have to see the guy once a year, and the guy is certainly beyond it. There's nothing we can do about it. Just don't pay attention. You can't do that with a president. Presidents make these decisive interactions that depend on the existence of the planet. Literally. He's got to be examined and put away in a room somewhere. Just like a crazy. You don't let your crazy uncle run the country. You'd go crazy. You would say, "Oh my God, this is when you read the crime is ridiculous." All right, I'm very upset about this. I'm just the complacency of the American people, just sitting here listening to this crap day after day, this lying and deceit, this pompous "I know everything" kind of attitude, is just disgusting. Anyway, I move on. Sorry, had to get that off my chest. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but you don't have your own podcast, so forget it. I'm a few days ago, I wanted a slice of pizza. I get cravings. I don't think I'm pregnant. I don't think that's possible. I don't think it is, because I'm eating like it is. I'm not craving pickles or anything like that, although they do have fried pickles on the appetizer menus now at some restaurants. I don't know what that's about. Fried pickles, I never would have even thought. I still haven't tried one to this day, and I really don't see any reason to do it, so I won't. But I'm eating like I'm pregnant. I get cravings, and then I must have it almost immediately, or at least the same day as my craving occurs. A few days ago, I got a craving for pizza. I'm very specific about pizza. I don't like the pizza that you put in a pan. I think it's called a pan pizza because all the grease just kind of collects in the pan, and I'm eating like grease soup with crust in it, crust and cheese and grease soup. No. I like the kind of pizza where you toss it in the air, comes down, and you put it right on the rack in the pizza oven, in the stone oven. That's what I like, the crispy stuff. No dripping, nothing dripping from my pizza, please. No, I don't believe pizza should be dripping. So I craved it, and I craved it badly. And I started doing pizza research, finding, first of all, the pizza is incredibly expensive. For dough, a little tomato sauce, and some cheese, what's the deal here? These suckers are like upwards of $10. My God, if you should ever want a topping on this thing, you better take out a second mortgage. Every single topping is like $2. Yeah, $2. $1.99. I know that's $2. Don't kid me with your 1 cent thing. Well, it's not $2. It's just $1.99. Well, I'm not stupid. Stop playing these little mental cent games with me. It's under $2. How far under $2? Buy a penny, but that's besides the point. Stop fooling with me. Cut it out. I'm a grown man. Look at me. Don't play. What do you think my reaction is going to be? Oh, it's not $2. It's $1.99. Now that's a deal. What do you think I'm going to react like that? You must think I'm stupid. And then I get insulted that you think that I am. So I'm doing pizza research. I'm going to every pizza chain, every pizza establishment there is in the area. Because I'm not going to wait for delivery. I'm not going to order something and then sit by the door like a kid waiting to open a present on Christmas morning. No, I don't do that. I don't sit by the door waiting for my pizza to arrive. That's a sure example of desperation. So anyway, and I'm looking at Domino's Pizza. I'm looking at Domino's Pizza because they apparently have really done some major steps here. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Domino's used to be a horrible establishment, a nationwide franchise of horrible pizza. And the president of Domino's, Bobby Domino's, I don't know his name, he actually cut a commercial that said, "I'm Bobby Domino's," if that's his, again, the CEO of Domino. "I'm the CEO of pizza." Really, you're the head of a company? Yes. What are you the head of? Pizza. Oh, you're a chief executive officer of a pizza company? Yes. Wow, impressive. Anyway, So he says he apologizes for the rotten quality of the pizzas that Domino's has, and that's going to change. And I thought, wow, this guy's got balls. He's the opposite of Trump. He's apologizing for how crappy his pizza is and says, I'm going to do better. That's like the Trump opposite, who never apologizes for anything. So I kind of like that. I thought that was pretty cool. So I checked out Domino's, and I found that they have all kinds of stuff going on, but almost too much. Almost. Their pizzas aren't bad now. The price is pretty good, and they've put a lot of pizza incentives into play, which are actually quite stupid. Here's a commercial that's running now. Domino's actually has pizza insurance. That's right, pizza insurance. If you take the pizza, you pick up the pizza, it's called carryout, and you walk out of the store and you're hit by a car and the pizza goes all over the pavement, they will replace the pizza as long as you bring it back and show them your damaged pizza. For any reason at all, they will replace the pizza if it gets damaged. Now, you can't damage it and then eat a slice and say, give me a whole new pizza. You just got to bring it in whole but damaged. That's their pizza insurance. And I'm thinking, wow, they replace the pizza for free if you bring it in damaged. That's pizza insurance. And I'm thinking, why can't we have home insurance like that? Or car insurance. I mean, I'm not paying for pizza insurance. They're not asking me for a premium. Your pizza is $7.99 and another $5 for the insurance policy. No, I don't do that. I'd love that with auto insurance, man. I just totaled my car. Okay, we'll replace it for free. Sorry. Wow, that would be a deal, wouldn't it? No insurance. No premiums. They just replace it. Oh, well, you got a scratch on your car? Here's another car. No problem. Yeah, I wonder if I would drive around with a scratch car. Here's another car for free. They don't do that. But pizza, they do. So I thought, well, this is really worth it. This is pretty cool.
Domino's Carry Out Insurance. We'll remake your order for free if anything happens to it on the way home. Even if it's not your fault. Like if it's whoever that guy's chasing's fault. Or if it's man's best friend's fault. Or even if it is, ultimately, your fault. Carry Out Domino's large three-topping pizzas for $7.99 each. With Domino's Carry Out Insurance, just bring it back and we'll remake it for free.
I like that. So I looked a little bit further and I thought, well, this is starting to look good. I'm liking their attitude. Their pizza apparently isn't too bad. I find out Domino's Pizza has a program called Pie Rewards. What? Pie Rewards? It sounds lame. Yeah, but here's the deal. The more pies, the more pizzas that you buy, you get reward points. Oh, not reward points again. I get so confused. What, am I going to fly for free to Paris? No, you just have to get free pizzas or maybe a free topping. Ooh, pie rewards, huh? Look, I don't eat that much pizza. This just happens when I get cravings. I'm not going to get pie rewards. I don't want to get texts on my phone saying, you have 3 pie rewards, another 20 and you'll get a free meatball. I don't need that. I don't want to be bothered with pie rewards. So now I'm thinking, all right, now this isn't looking as good as I thought. Not into the pie rewards program. That ain't going to work for me. Then I find out. So then I decide, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. I go online and I'm going to order my pizza from a local Domino's. I'm going to pick it up and get the automatic pie insurance, pizza insurance. And so I'm going through it and then it says, please log in. What? I want to order a pizza. I'm going to log in. Yeah, you got to log. You got to register. What? Well, how else are you going to get your pie rewards? Oh no. Okay, listen. All I want is a pizza. I want a pizza. I got to log in, and please create a pizza password. What are you? Why are you making this so difficult for me? That's because Domino's has instituted, get this, a pizza profile. That's right. It's Domino's pizza profile. I say to myself, out of obvious curiosity, what the hell's that? Apparently, when you order a pizza through Domino's, those records can be kept in your pizza profile. This is like a medical center. Please fill in all the drugs that you take. Please give us all information, please. Where you were born, parents' names, please. The pizza profile will keep a record of the toppings that you wanted on your pizza, the type of pizza that you wanted, when you ordered the pizza, when you picked it up, how much fun you had with the pizza. If you required pizza insurance, it's your pizza profile. That way, when you want to order a pizza again, in case you're stupid enough not to remember what you like, the pizza profile will remind you what you had last time or six times ago. And how many pie rewards points you, I can't even say, pie rewards points you have accumulated. Okay, look, here's the deal. You're making this far too complicated. It's even laughably funny. Look, I think pizza is a very serious thing. I know many people are employed by pizza locations as excellent and fruitful part-time jobs. There's even a CEO that they probably pay more than $20 an hour for the CEO. I don't know. It's very serious business to many. But to be honest with you, all I want is a freaking pizza. I don't need to go through this. The profile? A pizza profile? You got to be kidding me. Well, I didn't go to Domino's because I got frustrated. They really wanted me to sign in and create passwords and register, and I can't get beyond the fact that it's just a pizza. I don't want a profile on what pizza I had. As a matter of fact, I'd like those records destroyed, to be honest with you, because they're embarrassing. They're embarrassing. Ron, what'd you eat for dinner last night? Was it a well-balanced meal with vegetables and perhaps a potato and some protein and some greens? Was it a balanced meal? Yeah, it was. No, it wasn't, because I have your pizza profile right here. You had pizza yesterday with bacon on it, you lying bastard. I looked up your pizza profile. I thought that was private. I had created a password. I hacked into it. You don't think I can hack into pizza profiles? Well, I can. And by the way, you've got 3 pie rewards already accumulated. Don't know if you know that. I'm just telling you. Wow. That's scary in itself. All right, enough about this. My guest, P.A. Brooke, is going to join us momentarily right after this.
Ron Van Dam is different than most podcast hosts. He really understands his audience.
They like to be smacked and whipped.
Well, I think we're going to get along just fine. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
P.A. Brooke joins us now. He's the author of a new book called If I Were God. I've often thought that was possible for me, but apparently not. He joins us now. This is very interesting. He's actually a CPA during the day, and at night he's a humor writer. And it's fascinating. I guess that's what happens when you're a CPA during the day. I'm sorry, that was a low blow.
No, that's okay. You know, you have to do something to brighten up your life.
That's true. He's authored other, he's done other things as well. And he joins us now. I find you fascinating. And
thank you.
Yeah, because you kind of do what I do, but you do it very, very well. And that is you take a look at everyday life, the things that people with blinders on don't really see. You see them and you say something about it.
Well, yeah, that's right. And, you know, I've enjoyed writing despite being a CPA all my life. And, you know, I had an if I were God moment one day as I was opening junk mail and wondering why I get so much of it every single day. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing some research. I wrote some things down, and then I just started making a list of things that bothered me and started having some fun with it. And next thing you know, I had a book.
Incredible.
If some of the topics are lighthearted, but some of them are very serious.
Yeah. When did you start writing this book, may I ask, or start jotting down ideas?
I probably 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, I was working for part of the time as I was writing this book, being a CPA. Mm-hmm. I'm now retired. So it took a while to write. But I would just make a list of things that bothered me at night or on weekends, start writing it.
See, because things have changed so drastically in 4 or 5 years, especially the past 2.5. But did the political aspect of what's going on now have infiltrate into your psyche? In other words, originally one starts with things that bother us on a daily little social basis, brushing teeth, whatever the case may be. And then things seem to get a little bit more intense on the political end. Did that influence you at all?
To some degree, because I went through a lot of editing, and as I got closer to the end, I did tailor some of my editing comments to what's going on currently. I mean, I've got chapters in there that are, you know, front of mind, like gun control.
Yes.
And, you know, legalizing drugs. I mean, I know New Jersey, where I just recently moved from, is struggling with legalizing marijuana right now. So, you know, these are front page issues that I do discuss some of them.
It's interesting because things do change so quickly that nothing seems to be current unless you do stick with the stuff that is just social, you know, mores and habits that we have.
Yeah, there's a chapter in here on I call them BS studies. They're research studies about, you know, useless things. And I came across an article on Sunday in the local newspaper that basically had a study about fish, and one species of fish changes sex when it has to, which is, do we really need to research that to be better human beings?
I kind of wish I could do that, but I
well, maybe not.
And I mean that in a theoretical sense.
Well, of course.
You also have a great way of titling your books. Your prior book, and I can say this actually, our prior book is called "Oh Shit, I'm Over 50 and Single: A Guide for Mature Men and Women That They Date." Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't read that?
Well, I mean, hopefully, people over 50 or single would read it. I mean, it was I was over 50 and I was single and I was in between relationships and decided to give up for a while and just, you know, sat there. What am I going to do now? Well, I always wanted to write. So I started writing. I started writing stories about my dating exploits and what went wrong. And, you know, I had gone through a lot of therapy and understood why my relationships had failed previously. And I just started not only a memoir, but advice for guys as well as women. But it is geared towards guys because I'm a guy and I'm trying to help them out. And there's there are no books out there helping men. But men usually aren't going to go out there and look for that kind of advice because they think they know it already, which I certainly didn't. So I needed the help.
Yeah. No, it's like asking for directions. You just don't do that.
Sorry, honey, I know where I'm going. Five hours later, where are we?
Right. Of course, if you're alone, you'll stop. But otherwise,
exactly. Yeah. Thank God for GPS on our phones
now. I know. Yeah, now we don't have to go through that. It's interesting. You also claim that it's probably a good idea that we start using some new curse words. most of them have been around forever. How many times can you hit your thumb with a hammer and say the same thing? So you had some ideas as to actually changing this up.
Well, that's one of the fun chapters. Yeah. And because, you know, people have problems with cursing. I don't, obviously. If you read my book, you find it very colorfully written.
Just by the title of the other one, yeah.
Yeah, and I just had some fun with it. Uh-huh. And, you know, I went through some of the history of cursing, some interesting names, like real names of places and people that make you wonder what were the parents thinking or what was the mayor thinking when he named his, you know, his city, you know, after Climax. I mean, there's 21 cities named Climax in this country. Yeah, it's like, I know it has two meanings, but don't you think people are going to take the other one sometimes?
Always, yeah.
Yeah, so I came up with four curse words, which I guess on your show will not excuse me.
Yeah, we're good. We're good on that.
Require FCC fines in the future. <we're fine>. But I basically took all the 2,000 curse words and narrowed them down into four: Kelp, Karm, Zektu, and Ogulkus.
Oh,
they sound bad, but you know, so did the F word and so did selfie when it first came out.
But these words are not connected to other meanings.
As far as I know, no.
Okay.
I tried to make them up totally, and I created their own meaning.
Quail sex and fish farts. What the hell's going on there?
That's exactly my question. What the hell's going on there? Who cares that fish fart? I mean, do you know that barnacles have the largest penis relative to their size of their body in all the species in all the world? It's 8 times bigger than they are.
Really?
Do the math. What are you going to do with that?
Wow.
Yeah. There are so many studies out there that try to, I guess, claim that they can help humanity, but a lot of them, you know, so many studies end with a conclusion that, oh, more research is needed in this area, and they're studying quail sex and fish farts.
Yeah,
it's just a waste of a lot of money, and I think it needs to go away.
Probably
study stuff that's going to benefit humans.
Yes, yeah, and those things don't. I'm going to just name a couple of categories of which I totally agree with you, and most people probably do. Like, why aren't we doing this? What do we do about automated customer service? Yeah. Where to stick junk mail? That seems like a physical thing. Why golf isn't a sport, which is absolutely accurate. Why should we get rid of the penny? I mean, these are subjects where we go through this every day, and you kind of actually say, well, wait a minute.
You know, half the topics are probably fun things like the penny and junk mail and automatic customer. Yeah. I should say fun, but not, you know, they're everyday things that everybody would agree with.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot of topics in there that are very controversial. I mean, I talk about gun control. Mm-hmm. I talk about organized religion. Mm-hmm. And I guess my point with especially the serious topics was to have some fun with them, make them humorous, make parts of it humorous, at least the gun control chapter I talked about. The NRA went away. What would it be replaced with? Well, maybe, you know, the Blow Dart Association of America. Maybe that's how we would kill people. You know, so I was hoping to inject a little humor into the topic, and maybe it makes it a little easier to talk about going forward, and we can be rational about how we debate these things.
I see what you're doing. That's pretty cool. Yeah, there's no question about it. And golf is not a sport, my God. I mean... Lord.
I'm a golfer. I'm not a good golfer, but again, yeah, I had fun with that. I hypothesized what golf originally looked like back in the Stone Ages when, you know, the hazards on the course were natural, like dead animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and what was par back then? Probably 40, not 4. So I just had some fun with it and some of the terminology there. And, you know, I concluded that golf could stay a sport, but curling had to go.
I think all sports are absolutely kind of odd when you look at them. I mean, you're talking about golf, guys in pastel pants standing there with a stick. And then baseball, grown men standing on a field in their pajamas. It's just, the whole thing is just odd when you stop and look at things in a different way.
Yeah, and they get paid a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah,
they do. Because of the way society has evolved, not because they benefit society.
So this is your second book that you've released, is that right?
That's correct.
So I assume that a writer, especially who is no longer CPA-ing, I don't know if that's a verb, but it probably is.
Yeah, we'll make it one.
Sure, what the hell. What are you working on now?
Well, you know, as I was finishing up this book, you know, other things were coming to mind in terms of things that, you know, bother me. And I said, well, you know, I could do a sequel. You know, so, and to your point about being so politically charged today and how things change so rapidly, you know, once I start creating a list, I'm sure that the topics will flow and there won't be much difficulty in
coming up
with new ideas about things that I would like to change in the world.
Yeah. It's the things that you got to write it quick though, because things are so fluid that by the time you get the thing out to the public, I mean, something may have been changed in a major way, and then I spent all that time.
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, they could have stopped minting pennies by the time from the time I started writing this to the time
Correct.
I finished.
Correct. So, in which case, you'd be a hero. So,
well, I could take credit.
That's right. Which is a whole different series of books. I think someday you're going to have a wing of a library someday, I have a feeling.
You're very kind to say that.
It just seems like it's possible. The book just goes through tons of different subjects, and you'll find that you'll connect with them. It's available everywhere, I assume.
Yeah, you know, it's on Apple, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the retailers out there. Also, if you go to my website, PA Brook, there's a link to it there as well. And my website has some articles where you can get a flavor for how I write. They're free, you know,
right.
Just fun topics to talk about.
Cool.
The Mile High Club, I have a fun article on that. Mm-hmm. I talked about dating, dads dating, you know, when their daughters. I have a fun story about my daughter on there. Again, if you like my writing style, then maybe you go further and you click on the link to the book.
Great. Okay. And do you have a website that people can visit?
Yes, I'm sorry. It's pabrook.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Also, I on Twitter at author PA Brook. Both of those places you'll see, you know,
wonderful.
Again, interesting things that I put out, and hopefully you get a flavor for my writing style and like it.
Great. It's the short title is If I Were God by P.A. Brook. Also, probably there's If I Were God by Donald Trump, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating, and maybe we'll hook up again and see what else is on your mind in the near future. Well, there you have it for today, ladies and gentlemen. The experience that we've shared together has been precious, to say the least. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I'll be back again on Monday. Please join me at any time during the day. I'm always here. Until then, I wish you peace.